This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Glynis Board. This morning, we're remembering some people who strove to make a difference here in Appalachia.
Without coal, there would have been no Industrial Revolution. There would be no New York City. There would be no L.A. There would be nothing.
Tell it in the country, tell it in the town. Miners down in Mingo laid their shovels down. We won't pull another pillar, load another ton, or lift another finger till a union we have won. Stand up, boys, and let the bosses know.
This is West Virginia Morning.
Over, turn your lanterns low.
COVID-19 has taken the lives of at least 265 West Virginians. One of those was one of the state's most powerful and vocal social activists and musicians, Elaine Perkey. She died earlier this month. Caitlin Tan has this remembrance.
In Southern West Virginia.
Elaine Perkey grew up a coal miner's daughter in the mountains of Lincoln County. She was a coal miner's wife, a mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, but much of her life was spent as a musician activist, taking part in writing songs for many of the major union strikes over the past 50 years.
There's something evil going on.
Perkey was internationally known. One of her performances was featured in a PBS documentary, and she played in the 2003 Smithsonian Folklife Festival. And she's included in a folklife collection in the Library of Congress. But all her inspiration came from the Mountain State.
I mean, she's hardcore at Southern West Virginia.
That's Rick Wilson. He's a native West Virginian who works with the American Friends Service Committee, a Quaker social justice group.
West Virginians are almost tribal in some ways. You know, there's just like this real visceral connection to place. And I'd have to say it wasn't just a connection to place, but it was a connection of solidarity, sympathy for the poor and the disadvantaged.
Wilson says Perkey learned to play guitar and sing from her family. Legend has it that as a young girl, her father would put her on top of a rock to sing to whoever happened to walk by, Wilson says.
You didn't want to hear Elaine sing in a small room because she could just blow you away.
We'll protect our homes, our mountains. You can do the same, or you better stay away.
Wilson and Perkey were friends for over 30 years, first meeting at a coal worker strike and later bonding over their love of music. Her song, One Day More, is about the 1990-92 Ravenswood lockout, where nearly 2,000 United Steelworkers Union members demanded safer working conditions. It became one of her most famous songs, featuring in the 2006 Smithsonian Folkways Recordings album, Classic Labor Songs. Here's Perkey playing the song at a West Virginia Folklife program event in Kimball in 2017. It's about union workers outlasting companies by one day to get their demands met. Perkey also focused much of her time and songs on issues like clean water, police brutality, and teacher strikes, but also lighter things, like teaching Appalachian folk songs for kids at the Big Ugly Community Center, and she was an active member in the Leeds Church of Christ in Lincoln County. Wilson says she was absorbed by her passions and had a random yet charismatic sense of humor.
We used to have a joke that her brain worked like an old-fashioned car with an AM radio driving on curvy mountain roads at night, and you never knew what station she was going to pick up.
Jeff Bosley was another friend of Perkey's. He's a recording event production engineer based in Huntington. He met her through the music industry 10 years ago and describes her as fire and vinegar.
She never stopped. And you know, for us to be in position here talking about Elaine being stopped, is just it doesn't really compute at this point. It just doesn't. She was like an elemental force of nature.
Bosley recorded Perky singing the old Hazel Dickens song, Fire in the Hole, at the opening of the Mine Wars Museum in Matewan in 2015.
Tell it in the country, tell it in the town. Miners down in Mingo laid their shovels down. We won't pull another pillar, load another ton, or lift another finger till a union we have won. Stand up, boys, and let the bosses know. Turn your buckets over, turn your lanterns low.
I think Elaine was really singing about what she felt, what her thoughts were, and what her experiences were. It's just so sincere and comes straight from the heart.
Perky's friend Rick Wilson says she truly believed in West Virginia and its ability to persevere, much like her song says in One Day More.
I think Elaine's advice to us in these days, which are really dark in more ways than one, would be to hold out one day more.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Caitlin Tan.
Elaine Perky of Ranger, West Virginia, died September 2nd. She was 71 years old. If you have a loved one who's passed away from COVID and you'd like us to remember them, please reach out to news@wvpublic.org. Coal miners across the Ohio Valley are struggling with a resurgence of black lung disease. It's one of the many costs of coal mining that the Ohio Valley Resource documents in a new book called Appalachian Fall. Jeff Young has this update on one of the miners profiled in the book, a man who spoke for his fellow miners about what they contributed to the country.
Charles Wayne Stanley was 53 when the Ohio Valley Resource and NPR first interviewed him in 2016. He spoke about his long career in coal and his pride in being a miner.
It was coal miners that put this nation on the map.
That notion that the country needed to acknowledge what coal miners have contributed became a central theme in our book, Appalachian Fall. And from our years of collected interviews, it was Stanley who best gave voice to that idea. So in Chapter 1, we put his voice first.
Without coal, there would have been no industrial revolution. There would be no New York City. There would be no L.A. There would be nothing if it hadn't come from the backs of a coal miner.
Stanley ran underground mining machines for some 20 years, cutting coal from under the hills where Virginia meets Kentucky along the Cumberland Ridge. He spent another decade as a roof bolter. That kind of work helped keep the rock above from falling in on his fellow miners. It was risky, but it was the only work around that paid enough to raise a family.
Well, let me ask you something. Have you raised a family? You'll do what you have to do to make a living for your family. And that's exactly what we done.
And it wasn't just the risk of a roof fall or an explosion. That daily risk from breathing dust is what took a toll. In more recent years, that dust became even more hazardous as coal seams grew thinner and miners cut through more rock. And as for the company safety measures, well,
it's a joke. They'll holler safety, 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 safety on the outside. It's underground. It's production, production, production. That's the way it is.
By the time of this interview, Stanley was disabled and no longer mining. He spoke from a black lung clinic not far from his home in Virginia. Stanley was among the thousands of miners sickened in an epidemic resurgence of a disease that health experts say should have been eliminated long ago. He was diagnosed with progressive massive fibrosis, the worst form of black lung.
Because I've seen it too many times, coal miners. My wife's grandpa, watched him die, watched him take his last breath, eat up with black lung. I watched my uncle die with black lung. You literally suffocate because you can't get enough air.
In addition to his black lung, Stanley was also being treated for cancer. And on August 16th, Stanley died. He was 57 years old. His wife, Serena, asked his former workmates to show up in their stripes and work boots to carry his casket. And even with the risk of coronavirus, they did. Stanley's story raises some hard questions. What sort of future will his family and his town have? What costs will mining families have to bear? And will the country that these miners helped to build now help to rebuild coal country?
We're not just dumb old coal miners. We're not. We might not have the education, but we're not dumb. It's time that we be recognized for what we have contributed.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Jeff Young.
Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Andrea Billups is our news director. I'm your host and producer, Glynis Board. This is West Virginia Morning.